Iron and fire, not your typical college materials, but all part of the daily life of the American College of the Building Arts.
This is a student-built staircase.
Retired Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater is its president.
This school exists to fill a void in the United States. We have no one that's teaching these skills and crafts to young men and women who want to become an educated artisan.
The school, housed in a restored 1897 trolley barn, is small, under 100 students. This is a place where the president's dog is named Palladio, after the great Italian Renaissance architect.
Big day for us here in Charleston.
It's even been the focus of the popular PBS series, This Old House.
So, you're ready to install the gates today?
We sure hope so.
Part trade school, part traditional liberal arts college, it awards a Bachelor of Applied Sciences degree. Everyone is required to take a variety of science and humanities courses.
And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils.
On this day, a poem by William Wordsworth was being dissected in an English class taught by Wade Razzi, an Oxford-educated Shakespeare scholar. Students choose from seven areas of concentration, including stone, plaster and brick masonry, timber framing, and architectural carpentry. The tuition, under $10,000 a semester, with 85% of students getting some kind of financial aid. There's a focus on history.
So this is now the oldest book in our collection.
On the day we visited, the library had just acquired a 1565 book by a famed Italian architect. But most of all, it's hands-on work, taught by master craftsmen like blacksmith Jack Brubaker.
Most often I find myself being asked, how do I something.
Something and, very practical.
And oftentimes, rather than say, do this, it's like, well, there's this way, and this way. Yeah. And they get a broader experience and yet choose their path.
Another requirement, architectural preservation, to study the methods and regulation of restoration. Professor Christina Ray Butler.
Trades, I know because I went to trade school, are physically and mentally difficult. But
you went to trade school.
I did.
Yeah,
for carpentry and new construction. And then I got a degree in preservation because this school didn't exist. I would have come here because it marries two fields that have been separated.
And the setting in Charleston, Butler says, is crucial.
It is the largest historic district in the United States. So it's a great laboratory for students because we have so much protected built environment right in the heart of the city.
In fact, one particular part of Charleston's history led to this school's existence. After Hurricane Hugo battered the city in 1989, local officials and residents found there were few craftsmen in the U.S. who knew how to rebuild to proper standards. A small training program grew into a school, and by 2004, into the college. Today, it lures a mix of students. There are fresh out of high schoolers like 18-year-old Iris Howe, who's learning to carve stone. What did her friends back home in Fredericksburg, Virginia say when they heard her choice of college?
They're like, what? You're stone carving? Like how they did a long time ago before they figured out how to do other stuff?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, exactly that.
This is still a largely male population, but Iris hopes more young women will get as excited as she did when she first visited.
I just saw people working with their hands and kind of creating things that would outlive them, and I thought that was really cool.
Things that would outlive them.
Yeah, like stone kind of is here forever, yeah. If you think about it.
I know, it's here forever, but most people don't think about actually working it.
Yeah, you like look at fancy buildings, like government buildings. You think, like, who had the job to do that kind of stuff, like to make all the very specific details on it? And I thought that was really cool.
There are also older students like 31-year-old Ken McCummings, who served 8 years in the Marine Corps. A junior with a concentration in timber framing, he has two small children at home and wants to put his artistry to work for a living.
That's the beauty about the school. You dip your toes into every aspect of it. The way that craftsmen used to be, you would have the master mason that understood how to design the plan as well as how to carve the stone itself. He understood every aspect, the engineering of how to construct his vaults, and he was able to be involved at every step of the process. The main drive for me was understanding every aspect of this industry. I can go into design work. I can be a laborer that cuts elegant joinery for a structure. I could also be the guy that's involved in every step of the process, working with the homeowner in order to complete a major project. I can go anywhere.
Clearly, this isn't for everyone. You have to like getting dusty and sweaty.
When it started off, this side right here was about 11 inches sunken down.
Even working in graveyards. Students routinely hone their craft in the community, and senior Peter Taroni was part of a team that restored box tombs in the historic Circular Congregational Church, dating to 1681. He'd attended a traditional college and decided it wasn't for him.
With younger people, I think we have a desire for, as things become more and more digital and electronic and, you know, up in the cloud, we crave things we can touch and see. And the most amazing thing about this kind of thing is once you're done with what you do, you can look at it and point to it and say, that's what I did.
Do you really feel that? I mean, I've wondered that about people your age just grew up digitally, right? Yeah. Everybody's staring at their screen.
Right. I feel it in myself and I see it in those around me, but that may be my crowd. But I would say yes.
The question is whether this school is a model for others. The good news here, much touted, is that every graduate comes out with a job.
It'll overlap each other and be seamless.
Wow.
As a student, Joe Wissanant helped restore this gate at a private historic home. He now works for a local iron design company.
This is a separate piece.
Having won a prestigious fellowship at a famed French workshop, he saw how artisanship and craft are valued more there.
I feel like the work over here is more based around the monetary value of it and getting, you know, the money and making it fast instead of making something that's, you know, unique and truly great.
You saw more of that in France when
Absolutely,
you were there.
Absolutely,
yeah. Do you think that's changing at all?
I think it is. I feel like the school is a testament to that. That mindset of making things by hand and craftsmanship is starting to take America by storm.
As we close the gate on this story, that's quite a hope. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown in Charleston, South Carolina.